the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Delighted to say Sue Murphy is with us to talk TV and movies and anything that you might have missed. Sue, good morning to you. How are you?
Morning. How are you?
Very well. What's going on?
I think the big release this week is Moxie, which is the new Amy Poehler film. It's out on Netflix actually yesterday. I saw it last week and absolutely loved it. I kind of felt like, you know, there's Mean Girls, you have Easy A, those kind of teenage kind of films. It's very like that, and it's like the newest addition to that series. Amy Poehler actually directs it. She plays a single mother in it, and her daughter, Vivian, decides that she's going to release a zine around the school because she's basically had enough of the way that some of the guys treat the girls in school. And it's great. Like, I think it's one of those things that, you know, if you're a teacher and you have a class full of teenage girls, show it to them, because the way the guys talk to the girls in this film, like, it's kind of, one of them passes it off and says, you know, he's just annoying. And the one goes, no, he's not annoying. Like, that's more than annoying. He's harassing me. And there's a couple of times where one of the teacher goes, oh, is this bothering or is it harassing? Because if it's harassing, I have to open a whole load of other documents. You're just like, why are they ignoring when these girls are speaking up? So, and it basically just starts this revolutionary movement in the school, and the girls have just had enough. And it's very enjoyable. Now, the end was a bit kind of, a bit too sweet, nicey nice. But the rest of it was just like, the amount of times when you're a young teenage girl, when you want to say, no, that's not acceptable. And you just don't, because you want to kind of roll with it a little bit. I've been through that. I'm sure every woman in the world has been through it. And it's just a great thing to show to kids. I think it's brilliant. Really, really good.
Is it funny?
It is funny, in parts. Now, I will say, if you're watching it as an adult, it's not as good as if you're watching it as a young adult film, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, so that's it. That's the target market is the teenager as opposed to... Okay, and so...
Absolutely.
Is it the type of thing that parents will watch with their kids and kind of ask questions about, are you experiencing this?
That's what I really hope happens, because... There's this guy in the school, and basically he likes one of the girls, and the girls doesn't like him, and he decides that the way to act around this is to harass her, and he harasses her constantly.
Which is essentially, given what you're saying, which is essentially the thematic of every 1980s teen comedy. It was, I can't get that girl, I'm going to hire somebody to get that girl for me, and then...
Yep.
Bait and switch, which was the theme of Roxanne, and what's the one with the Pretty in Pink?
Pretty in Pink, yeah.
But Pretty in Pink, didn't Molly Ringwald write an amazing piece in the New Yorker years later, going, that was so creepy. That was like one of the creepiest things that I've ever been involved in. I can't watch that movie with my daughter. So this is kind of trying to counteract,
correct some of that.
Decades and decades. The problem is, it has to be good, because sometimes these movies have great messages, but ultimately they never have long-term resonance because they don't hold together as the piece of art that they're supposed to be.
Yeah, no, it's not that. You root for her. Like, you really want her to succeed. And I think that's what the characters are actually really likable. And you know what? It's nice to see teenagers often when you watch a film with teenagers, they're grouped into all their little groups, and they have, you know, the quarterback or the cheerleaders or any of that kind of stuff. And that kind of comes into play. But this scene just gets rid of all of those hierarchies in terms of groups and schools. And it just puts them all on the same level. And I just thought it was like the first time in a long time I've seen something like that where I've gone, oh yeah, that's a bit different than stuff I've seen before. And you can feel Amy Poehler, I don't know if she has a teenage daughter herself, but you can really feel that it's coming from her point of view of, do you know what? This is just, we've had enough of that.
Okay, so you recommend, it's called Moxie, it's out this weekend.
Yeah, it's out. It was out yesterday on Netflix, it's out already.
Okay, so everybody can have a look on Netflix this weekend.
Coming to America, yeah. I'm not allowed to say much about this because it's not, it's out tomorrow. And this is one of the strictest embargoes I've ever seen around a film. So I'm just going to say that it's out on Amazon Prime. There are literally no reviews for this absolutely anywhere at the moment. Like, it's very... It's been kept under lock and key, but I went back and watched some of the original one because I've never seen the original. Like, that's awful. But the 1988 film, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's just not, I'm not the target audience, but I didn't think it was funny. So I don't know if some people are going to get on and kill me because I know it's a classic. And whenever I say something like that, somebody's like, no, it's the greatest thing ever.
I don't.
But anyway.
Are there Coming to America stans who really stan the movie? Or are there Coming to America stans who have a few lines from it and think like, oh, this is, you know.
Like, I think they're Eddie Murphy people. I think that this is like an era of Eddie Murphy where he just couldn't do any wrong. And like, there is a lot of likable things about that character, actually. And it's kind of like, I kind of went, huh, a couple of times. But I just, like, I love Raw. I think Raw is one of the best things I've ever seen. And I think he's so, so funny. But again, when you're like, I watched this back to back almost with Moxie, and the way they talk about and treat about women when you come off the back of something like Moxie is,
it's really not acceptable.
Like, no.
The most famous scene in it is completely and utterly unacceptable. It's like, it's, you know, criminal. It's a criminal, ha, 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 ha. Oh. Which, like, in the 80s, everybody would laugh at, but now you realise it's a crime.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't know if I'm from that school of, like, going back and correcting what's already been out and editing out stuff. I think that they should exist just the way they were. But at the same time, when you watch this back, you're just like, ooh, God. And it just watching it through the lens, especially coming back off the back of a film, like a feminist film like Moxie, you're just like, wow, that's... really not great.
No, I mean, even if you hadn't just watched Moxie before it, I think that, have you seen The Zone? Do you know what we're talking about?
I'm not going to lie. I was looking at Coming to America there and I drifted off. What is the particular cultural reference that we're talking? Because what came to mind when you mentioned this theme of 80s movies is Breakfast Club and how unbelievably creepy that is. And that does, again, you do not need to see something like Moxie for you to actually appreciate how creepy that is. Like, that is the best way you can describe Breakfast Club. As much as it does a lot of things right, I mean, what it does wrong is just absolutely awful. But sorry, go on.
As I find that when you look back at those films now, like, I know when I saw those films first, you never even thought about it. And it's mad that in the current lens, when you're looking back, you're like, wow, these are really, like, we should really be talking about how these films are really not acceptable anymore. And I don't really see, like, I know you were talking about the Pretty in Pink one, but people still go, oh, they're classics. And you're like,
I haven't seen Breakfast Club in a long time. What's the problem with Breakfast Club?
Oh, gosh. The anti-hero in it, the guy with the long hair, I can't remember his name, basically spends the entire movie harassing the female lead to the point where there is a peeping Tom moment, essentially.
Okay.
In the middle of tension.
And she's quite quiet and kind of dismissive of him, and it's a bit like, please stop.
I can remember the first time I only watched it for the first time a couple of years ago, actually, and it's kind of like, what was the 80s doing? What, like, when was there a time when people watched this and were like, thumbs up to this movie because it's hip and indie and the soundtrack is great, we're now gonna not talk about this thing in the middle? Like, I can see why people love the film and why it's got such a cult following, but it pretty much, a lot of that gets erased when you see that particular moment in the middle. It's like, what the hell was that?
That's a whole genre in the 80s, that whole kind of creepy young boys creeping on women is like a whole, like, every summer there would have been two or three movies in that came out that, or like, I suppose this is just what America is like.
Even there's a slight tint to it in Ferris Bueller. Like, it's only a very slight nudging towards it. I think that's probably why it stands the test of time more than others, because it's not flagrantly creepy as the others, because there is an actual, the male lead has a girlfriend and there's no sort of, oh, we're going to chase the female lead in this one because that's what happens in 80s movies. But there is that moment when Cameron pretends to be dead, essentially, pretends to stare at a wall. And the female lead is like, did you see me changing there? And Cameron is like, ha 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 ha. And they both have a laugh at it. And it's like, is Cameron a complete creep? Like, why? Like, yes, is this what we've been dealing with the entire thing?
I think that was implied in his character the whole way through, though, right? I mean,
I guess so. But, like, I mean, I just sat him down as a bit odd. Like, I don't know. The 80s, weird time. I don't envy you.
Coming to America is like the story of a rich African prince who comes to America. And
to find a bride that has a mind of her own, but he can't actually lift a finger to help himself. So.
Yeah. And look, there are definitely bits that were, like, believe it or not, right? When we were in sixth class, this was the movie that they showed at Christmas. They brought the TV.
Christmas.
They brought the TV in, and teacher stood. Yay. I sat at his desk reading the paper. I went in and had a chat with somebody else, and we watched Coming to America as pubescent 12-year-olds in South Kildare.
Oh my gosh.
And if you know, there's a few scenes in the movie where, like, in retrospect, what the fuck were they thinking?
I mean,
pardon my
like
French. I apologise for any offence that may have been caused.
The bit at the start is just like, oh my God, no, it's just so unacceptable. No.
Do you want to tell everyone what that is?
I'm on the outside looking in at this. I haven't seen Coming to America.
Maybe we shouldn't.
I'm happy to not know anything about it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I feel like you come along with something, a second film in this, you have a blind spot, a blind cultural spot to Come to America, because everyone talks about how great Eddie Murphy is in this and Beverly Hills Cop. So you have to kind of go back and go, okay, well, I'll go and watch these. But is Eddie Murphy a little bit misogynistic in these films? I would say, yeah. And like the scene in particular at the start, Owen, is that he has all these people who basically do everything for him. And he's in a massive bath. And there's all these women washing him. And it's just like, I don't know if we want to say this early in the morning, but she gets up and she goes, the royal penis is now cleaned. And you're just like, okay, right?
Wow. Happy Christmas, everybody in that school.
I can't believe that.
Wow. What a Christmas movie that is. It's okay, I see. And like, nope. Someone's going to get a modern version of that.
No one ever forgot it. I can tell you that. So you've got to dig that out, Owen, in preparation for watching the second one, which no one has seen, and no pre-release for it, which
no reviews,
which you're always a little bit dubious about. You mentioned Amy Poehler, Parks and Recreation. You're rewatching that at the moment. It's on somewhere at the moment.
Yeah, it's on Prime, and I think it goes on to Netflix intermittently. I think it might be on Netflix at the moment. But I've rewatched it twice, and he finished it again about a month ago, and I just love it. And this is what I find weird about it, because it is very US Office. Like, it's the talking to the camera mockumentary, somebody following her around. She works in Pawnee in the Parks and Recreation Department. And I really, like, rewatching it the second time, realised how brilliant the characters are by the time they get to season two, and how much they bed in and they all get used to each other and their own little jokes. And I'm pretty sure there's a lot of improvising in some of that script and they just go with it. But I just love Nick Offerman as Ron Swanson. He is one of my favourite characters, and like, he just hates working for the government, loves meat, likes to have a gun, hates his ex-wife, and he's just a very entertaining person. But I just love this series. I think the 5 seasons, it doesn't lag at any point, and I think it ends brilliantly as well, which is hard to do with a series like that.
Okay, it strikes me like you don't watch that much back.
No, I don't. No, I'm not one of those people that rewatches stuff. Just because there's so much new stuff to watch all the time, that it actually has to be, like, that and Schitt's Creek are the only two comedy series, besides Friends being on the loop on the TV all the time, that I would go back and rewatch, maybe Father Ted. Like, I just... Even The Wire. So I started The Wire again last night because I know you guys are watching it. But that's the first time I've rewatched The Wire since 2008, maybe. So I just don't. There's so much new stuff that's brilliant that you'd never get to, you know?
Okay, we were going to talk about The Wire, but we actually don't have time. So you're recommending for something that, if anybody's missed Parks and Recreation, it stands the test of time. It's worth going back to.
Oh, and, definitely, yeah.
If you want to be culturally appalled, go back and watch Coming to America this weekend in advance of probably not watching Coming to America with the 2-2. See what they did there? They changed T-O to the letter, to the number 2.
Very clever.
They're like the mirror. They can show you the zebra and tell you it's a zebra at the same time. I mean, it's an amazing piece of, it's a cultural artifact. I might frame that back page today. Sue, good stuff. Thanks very much.
No worries at all.
Sue with us every Thursday morning. Talk to us about what the hell's going on in the world of TV, and joins us for recommendations. And I think the recommendation this week is Parks and Recreation.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.